If you're thinking about it, she's talking about it. Join the conversation at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. So this morning, I was reading, actually for the last couple of days, all about the development that is proceeding apace in Norwalk. The Wall Street area, there has been a log jam with respect to a developer around the Garden Cinemas area, that Wall Street area right there around Isaac Street, called the POCO development. And now it looks like this plan for a tremendous amount of affordable housing, what they're calling moderate housing at 40, 60, 80% of market rates, is going to be going in there. But I saw a letter by our next guest, Lisa Brinton, that essentially said that almost 6,000 units of new housing were going through the planning and zoning process in Norwalk without sufficient community oversight, without enough debate, without a sense of the whole picture, more like a trees instead of forest for the trees approach. So Lisa Brinton has been a guest on our show before because she ran against Mayor Harry Rilling unsuccessfully. She did not win. But she has been very involved in the city of Norwalk for a very long time, and I think she comes with a lot of worthwhile ideas and a passion for keeping Norwalk a beautiful, diverse community, which it is. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show today. Hello and welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. It's good to be here again.
Yes. So, Lisa, tell us a little bit about what is happening right now in the way of proposed development in Norwalk. Where is it happening? Give us the big picture.
The big picture is that at a state level, there has been a push to, we haven't been pushing jobs so much, but what we have been pushing is housing. And they've been pushing it along the, what they call the TOD, the transit-oriented development route. So along the train lines, along the major interstates, the Merritt 95 and the train line. And so cities like Norwalk and Stamford have been inordinately impacted by this state push to do these sorts of things. And so it's amazing that Norwalk stayed as small and charming as it was for as long as it was because of our proximity to New York. But there is definitely a push by the state and by politicians to bring in housing, which I consider to be in lieu of jobs. we're becoming truly a bedroom community to New York. Ironically, in the middle of a COVID crisis, when everybody is kind of wanting out and you know, whole office space and the whole issue of how much people are going to be commuting into New York is probably in question now.
So, let me ask you this. Have you thought about, Norwalk has a fair amount of commercial space as well. Is some of that considered to be converting to residential communities?
Well, if they haven't done it yet, they might start thinking about it. I mean, we just went through a revaluation in 2018, and areas like the Merritt 7, mm-hmm. There was a significant increase in the appraised value from 17 to 18 when we did our reval, like 40%. And it's questionable with what's happening in the office market with everyone working from home now, what kind of situation those giant complexes are going to be in. We seem to always be running 10 years behind the trend. We put in the last mall in America, and everyone's moving to Amazon, and we're building all this transit-oriented development, and I fear we're going to have a whole bunch of excess office space. I don't know. I know it's political. I know it's not very transparent, and it's not very economical. Because my big issue has been, and what I brought forward in my campaign was, you know, land funds our school systems, and we are not using our land as judiciously as I think we should be, and so we're having trouble funding our school system because we're giving lots of tax credit deals and what have you, and we're not dealing with some of the illegal apartments and some of the slumlords that are kind of developing in our city. And so the net result is you're bringing in all these new people, you're filling up for school system, and we don't have the revenue. It's bad policies that are kind of hurting us right now.
We're chatting with Lisa Brinton, 203-333-9422. If you want to be part of the conversation or have a discussion, we're specifically focusing on Norwalk today. So what is in the works right now? And tell us, let's start with this POCO development that I've been reading in depth about.
Okay, well, Last time I checked in, when we did this last summer, the whole project was put on hold, and they were fighting to save the Garden Cinema. And lots of people turned out. I think there were 12,000 signatures for kind of these old-time theaters. Sadly, COVID has hurt, you know, that particular business. But what happened is everything went radio silent, and then all of a sudden, miraculously, a year later, we have a new deal. The Garden Cinema is being torn down. They are going to use part of it for a parking lot, and they're going to put in 50 more units. So instead of having 101 affordable units, we're now adding an additional 50 that will be... They're going to be, and I haven't read all the documents. Wow. It's like there are so many documents, and it's still got to go through planning and zoning. But basically, I think in order to make the numbers work for the developer, the way they've acquired more land is they've, like I said, now they can do the parking, and they're sticking in more apartments. But the developer is getting, they're doing it through, you know, these low-income housing tax credits. So it's all federally defined. Affordable housing. That's the only way that you can put in new affordable housing in this country is through these low-income housing tax credits. The left has liked it because it is it's aspirational in terms of providing affordable housing. The right liked it because it was all done through private funds. The government's not building affordable housing. They do it through developers. But it really sets itself up for some complex financial deals that may not be as responsible as they should be for the taxpayer, because what makes the housing affordable is basically tax credits that extend out for, you know, 10, 15 years, and you then don't collect property taxes to fund your schools. You're building housing that will have children in it, but you're not deriving revenue. It's really bad.
Wow. That is really bad.
It's very complicated. Most people's eyes glaze over. My eyes glaze over, and I've been following this for years. The costs are driven by the complexity of the deals. There's lots of investors. There's money that comes from various different pots. But the problem with a lot of this affordable housing is it's never required to be permanently affordable. The other problem is you're concentrating it in one area. That's not necessarily smart planning.
Another problem with it. We're chatting with Lisa Brinton. You know, my problem is far more practical. Once these are up, I've seen this in my area in Westport, they don't answer the phone in terms of actually getting an apartment. In other words, good luck getting one of these so-called affordable housing units for somebody that may have lived in the community, definitely qualifies in terms of income, would be a very, very good, reliable tenant. Good luck finding that opening. It's beyond opaque, Lisa, as a practical matter.
Absolutely. Well, one of the problems I pointed out in the letter I wrote is that the administration, the 6,000 units that I highlighted, have come in under the Rilling administration, and you know it's effectively almost 20% of our housing. It has been transformed.
Wow.
And 20% of our housing is going to be controlled by corporates. You know, this used to be, you know, I described Norwalk as, you know, we're located in the Gold Coast around all these wealthier communities, but we've been an affordable community for middle class and working class folks.
Yes.
And we're corporatizing the city. And when you do that, you start losing your sense of community.
Yeah.
There's less involvement. It's all about bottom line investors that live, you know, in some real estate portfolio somewhere, you know?
That's a good point. And also, it skews very heavily to rentals, which is also not necessarily in the interests of the community.
Well, the concern we've had in Norwalk, and it's been in the papers quite a bit, is like right now this summer it's very hot, you know, beach access, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the problems that I'm foreseeing is that when you rely, 60% of Norwalk is funded by its housing, right? We've got a bit of commercial, and I'm worried about that. But when funding, you know, when local property funds your municipality, which it does for all of, you know, the towns in Connecticut, and you get very little back from the state, you start putting too many people in, and then you're starting to put a stress on your natural resources, like your beaches, like your parks. And if you don't have enough tax revenue because your school system is continuing to grow and grow, which is what we're doing, but we're bringing in lower income families and we don't necessarily have the funds to pay for it, we're going to start moving to user fees for beaches and things like that. And I could see, you know, and that's a very regressive. So the very idealistic idea of affordable housing, which everyone aspires to, there's lots of different ways to define it. Is it the market defining affordable housing? Norwalk's already has almost 13%. Our neighboring towns of Westport and Darien,
Far less.
Yeah. And then we don't get any help with our school system from the state. And so you're just killing the goose with the golden egg. Your property values, if you're giving tax credits to the builders and the developers, how do you fund your schools?
So here's this what I don't understand. I'm sure we're chatting with Lisa Brinton of Norwalk. The way you've described this, what is the incentive for Mayor Rilling and the PNC to be pushing these ahead? If the local community isn't getting revenue, what's the point?
They don't care. This is the danger of single party rule in the state of Connecticut. As you know, I'm an independent. I was cross endorsed by the Republicans. I took heat for that because I'm not a Republican. I'm a fiscally conservative independent, and I'm a social progressive. But you still have to have enough money to do things. And they're relying on is that, you know, people struggle with their own finances, let alone public finance. And if you make something so complicated, people's eyes glaze over. You know, just do. And so they're not going to follow, you know, 40% AMI, 80% AMI, you know, what's the average median income? I mean, people don't think about that. But what people in Norwalk are starting to see is overcrowded beaches, overcrowded parks, overcrowded roads, lots of New York plates who aren't registered in the state of Connecticut. So there we're losing tax revenue there. We have been taken over by the wolves. I mean, this is a fabulous city, and I believe in growth. I was accused of being anti-development. I'm not anti-development, but I want smart development and scalable development. BLT is going to be putting in 1,300 units over there off of Glover Avenue. I mean, these are mini cities.
Unbelievable.
And my question is, what are they going to look like in 10 years?
I listen, Lisa, I'm with you. 1,300 units. Holy cow. I've been reporting on this all along. BLT, Building and Land Technologies. I know.
And so we're building
them
all along.
And it does seem as if the community isn't having a referendum on it. It does seem as if in the time of COVID, where you don't have actual meetings, you just have Zoom meetings, there isn't enough community say. It really does seem as if a lot of it's being rushed through. It does.
It is being rushed through, and I made this a campaign issue. I said this was what was being voted on. It wasn't Democrat, Republican. It was about the future of the city.
Yep.
And so in Norwalk, people really only pay attention every 2 years when we have an election. So, I mean, there will be a referendum next fall as all these units have come online. And I've had some of my team have told me, you know, people are really afraid that, you know, tax collections are going to be down with COVID and so many people out of work. And someone had speculated we might be down as much as 8%, $30 million. You can only raid the rainy day fund or, you know, we're going to have to start doing cuts. We didn't do that. Lots of other towns kept their budgets in line. We did not. We raised ours 5%. There just seems to be oblivion. We were warned by our finance director that our bonding was getting a little high. Our council disregarded that, along with the mayor. This is the danger of single-party rule, and I've tried to point out, you may not like what's going on in Washington, but what goes on in your state and in your municipality is very local and very different. So, you know, I don't know what to say anymore. It's like, well, I told you so, guys. So it's, you know, the town is speaking up, but like I said, we're in lockdown. Our city hall is not open. We can only participate via Zoom. And so this stuff is going through at lightning speed. It's, I think people should be going to jail, but you know, I'm a lone voice.
We're chatting with Lisa Brinton, who was, a real community watchdog for Norwalk. Do you have your own following, Lisa? Do you have people that come with you to meetings, that sign on to petitions with you? Have you garnered a following?
Yeah, I do. I mean, if 900 more votes and I'd have been mayor. I mean, we got close. When you think of a private citizen, which is what I was, and I begrudgingly, the Republicans did endorse me because of my fiscal policy, but I was not a Republican. So I'm kind of this homeless character. The parties don't like me. The major parties don't like me because I'm speaking as a businesswoman. I'm speaking as a resident. I'm speaking as a homeowner. But yes, we have a following, and we're going to be, if I could put a little plug in, we're going to be, we've created a PAC called You Drive Norwalk, and it stands for Unaffiliated Democrat Republican Independent Voters Engaged for their city. And we're creating a website and a following and a way to basically communicate these complex financial issues that you can't communicate in a campaign, but let people see we're more densely populated than Stanford and Danbury, that we have less, you know, tree canopy, things that people know, but you know, here's some of the data. But it's tricky conversations. And when the other side calls you racist, when you're trying to explain financial matters, we don't have courageous conversations anymore. We have name calling right now in our politics. And you have to be pretty tough to withstand it.
Yeah, you do. You have to be willing to
get
into the
ring. You have to
believe
in your convictions. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's not an easy thing, Lisa. We're chatting with Lisa Brinton from Norwalk, and we're talking about the future of Norwalk and what's in process now. And what I'm hearing is that an awful lot that's on the drawing block is really not going to benefit the city of Norwalk, which will not benefit the school children of Norwalk, even though there will be more school children because that's what new development, you know, brings, and that's a good thing for a community in general. So, there's a lot to all of this. Well, I'm glad that you came on the show. I'm very happy to have you on periodically, Lisa. I'm glad to be reading your voice. I don't know, is there any advice that you would give people who are listening now in Norwalk if they want to know more or speak to you directly or do something with their own local representative? Is there an RTM in Norwalk? What's the local government, the Common Council?
It's the Common Council. Sadly, they're not listening. We have the worst, we have a perfect storm. We have single-party rule, and I'm not trying to take a shot at the Democrats. I think we had single-party rule, and it was the Republicans. But you've got an agenda that's going forward with a lopsided council and a mayor who is beholden to developers. And this is not just happening in Norwalk. I've spoken to some people in there's various towns in New York City. This is happening in a lot of cities. And so what you're doing is the character of these small-town cities is changing. And like I said, change is going to happen. I'm not against development. What I am against is if you have crafted financial deals and you've given so many tax incentives, either through enterprise zones or opportunity zones or low-income housing tax credits, and you don't have enough revenue to fund your school system, then you're going to start raising taxes in other ways. And folks aren't going to see this for, it's going to take, COVID may advance this case if we are down in our tax collections, which I suspect we're going to be come this fall. You know, people don't have to pay till October 1, so we're not going to know the state of our finances until October 2nd.
Wow. Well, maybe you'll be running again next time, Lisa. Maybe you'll keep running. We'll see.
Maybe.
You're going to run against Harry Rilling next time if he wants another term?
We'll see. Never say never.
Never say never.
But I'll tell you this much. I've said to folks that if I do, the town has got to get behind me, is that this is not a Republican or Democrat issue. This is a long-time, you know, resident issue. We've got 55,000 voters in Norwalk, but only about 15,000 vote in local elections. And I think that's pretty much the case in most local elections.
Yeah, it's about a third. You're less than some of the other towns. You're coming in significantly less than a third. We get about 33% to 36%.
We had 28%. And part of the problem is, as you have renters and transient people, they don't vote in local elections. They're passing through. You know, if they don't know what's going on, you know, do no harm. Unless you know specifically what's going on in a municipality. I never voted in local elections until I owned property.
Yeah.
You know, property owners vote in local elections.
Yeah, they do. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show. Lisa Brinton on the Lisa Wexler Show. Thanks for catching us up with what's happening in Norwalk. Much appreciated.
Anytime, Lisa. You take care.
Thank you. We'll be right back. More of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.